Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now on the line is our Radio.com Sports NFL insider, Michael Lombardi. You can listen to him on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available on the Radio.com app and wherever you get your podcasts. As long, always, our insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today, Indeed.com/hire. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Good to be here. Thank you.
Michael, we're talking about the possibility of the Packers being able to make a move here at the trade deadline. You see the L.A. Rams go and make the splash move for Jalen Ramsey. At the wide receiver position, from what you're hearing, what is the possibility that, there could be a move for the Packers to make before the deadline in a couple of weeks?
I think it's a tough market. I mean, look, the Patriots have been trying to get into that market for a while. I think it's a hard market. There's not a lot of guys available. You know, Denver's talked about not trading Emmanuel Sanders. He's not really available. Atlanta doesn't want to trade Mohamed Sanu. You know, there was talk that he could be available. I think it's kind of a lean market. Now, you know, maybe in another week if teams lose, they might decide to reconsider their thought process. But right now I would say it's lean, and there's a lot of competition for receivers. I mean, the Raiders traded for Jay Jones with the Buffalo Bills. He's been on the market for over 2 months. I mean, finally somebody bit and made the deal.
What about a guy like O.J. Howard or maybe A.J. Green? I mean, I know O.J. Howard's a tight end, but I don't know. I think he's probably fallen out of favor a little bit down there in Tampa.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I get the sense that, you know, Jason Light, the GM, drafted O.J. Howard. I think, to me, unless it bottomed out there, I doubt that they would move him. I know there'd be a lot of suitors. I'm sure New England would be in play there. Look, Mike Brown, the owner of the Bengals, he won't trade Alec Erickson, the slot receiver. I know he's not going to trade A.J. Green, okay? He won't trade Alec Erickson, so why the heck do you think he's going to trade A.J. Green? So, I mean, I think that, you know, this is all, you know, look, O.J. Howard's a really good player, I think, if in the right system, you know, but look, we're talking about a quarterback in Jameis Winston who's won 21 games in 5 years, and he can't control, he can't, you know, keep the ball from the other team's hands. I blame it on the equipment manager. Somebody doesn't tell the kid what jerseys we're playing in.
You know, we talked a lot about, too, we just talked a little bit about this, on how to build a team. And I think you've seen a lot of teams are trading away their first-round draft picks to go get guys. How would you – I mean, is that the in vogue thing now to do? I mean, you look at the Rams. I think the Rams don't have a first-round pick for the next 5 years. And you see a lot of these – a lot of teams are now doing this so-called going for it where they're giving up their first-round picks and they don't have any for the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, well, look, the Rams don't have any depth either. You know, when they get, you know, when they sign Ramsey to whatever extension they're going to sign him to, right?
So
they're going to have Ramsey, Brandon Cooks, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, and Aaron Donald. They're going to have five guys that are going to make all the money. You can't win. The Rams have no depth on their team. They're horrible in the offensive line. They have no backup left tackle. When Whitworth retires next year, he could retire in the middle of this season. They don't have anybody who could play left tackle. They have no prospects of anybody behind Gurley right now. I mean, and they're stuck with his contract. So you could go down this way. You can win all the press conferences you want to win, right? They're going to win the press conference. But football's a marathon. It's a game of depth. It's a game of attrition. And you've got to be standing at the end the healthiest that you can be. Then that ain't going to be the Rams, and that ain't going to be because you're trading away your picks. The draft is how you build your team. Now, look, this year's draft is always benefits your next year's team. When you're a good team, the team that you drafted, say, in 2019, that draft has to benefit your 2020 team. That's the way it works. And if you don't have those picks, it's hard. And if you don't have depth, it's hard to win. The Patriots take a different approach. They pay Brady, and then everybody else makes below that $10 million threshold. So they have more depth than most teams.
So, Michael, you look at the Green Bay Packers this year, and they did dip their toe in a little bit during the offseason. They go out and get Preston Smith and bring in Za'Darius Smith, and they went out and picked up Adrian Amos. So, I mean, immediately they helped their defense, and I think that's kind of the way the Packers have been going that way, but also within the draft.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the one thing I criticized Ted Thompson for is he was your stockbroker. He only bought one stock, right? He only was dealing with the college draft. And he didn't care about anything other than the college draft and college free agency. He refused to give up any any compensation. He would only sign guys that were cut by other teams. He wanted to gain more compensatory picks. You can't be that narrow-minded in the game. You've got to use every avenue to explore talent in the NFL. And I think that the way they're doing it right now is the best way. You know, they've got a quarterback who's under contract. He's a high-priced player. And they're going to have to find ways. And they'll do a good job in the draft. They do a good job in pro personnel. Look, you got to hit with some guys off the practice squad. You got to hit with some guys as college free agents. You got to hit with everybody. You just can't not go one way.
Talking with the three-time Super Bowl champion, Michael Lombardi, our Radio.com Sports NFL insider here on The Fan. Michael, how have you seen out of the first six games the hire of Matt LaFleur, obviously having the most success out of any of the other first-year head coaches, but he walked into a system that was much more ready to compete right now. What have you been able to judge that the job that Matt LaFleur has done so far?
Well, I think he's benefited by the hire of Mike Pettine tremendously, right? I think Mike's come in and done a good job for him. And, you know, when they turn the ball over, they're a better defense. Last week against Detroit, they played great situational football. They played good in the red area. They weren't good in the game, gave up too many big plays. They didn't turn the ball over, but they were effective in terms of stopping and holding the Lions. The Lions can complain all they want about the missed calls or the bad calls. They lost that game because of their red zone offense. Their red zone offense was atrocious. And when you settle for field goals, you have nobody else to blame but yourself. So I think, look, LaFleur's done a good job. I think their offense is still a work in progress. You know, they've won a couple close games. I think this will be a real challenge against the Raiders. The Raiders control the ball for a while. They run. They're really good on first down. Their first down efficiency is the best team in the NFL. They're one of the few teams that they're one of the least amount of teams in third and 10 of any team in the NFL. They rank second in the National Football League and having the least amount of third and 10s. What does that tell you? That tells you that they're working the ball, they're using three downs to get first downs, they're controlling the clock, and they're keeping their defense off the field.
What about Carr? From year one to year two with Gruden, have you seen improvement in him in the second year with Gruden?
I think it's pretty much the same. I mean, here's what John's done a great job of. John's done a great job of having Carr to have to play in the game. They've scored 31 points in the first quarter, right? They've scored 65 in the first half, and I think they've scored 34 in the second half combined, right? So he starts fast, they play from ahead, and they don't ask Carr to have to drop back and throw the ball 50 times because that's not going to be a formula for success for him. He's got to be able to have a really good, successful play. They're also really good at not allowing negative plays. And what that means is they're never second and 15. They're never third. They're never second and 20. They're never in those situations. They're always in second and 6. That's what happened to the Bear games, second and 5, second and 4. You know, now second and 3. Next thing you know, they're getting a first down. And they're controlling it. And I think he's done a really good job. And it's kind of hitting Carr can play really tough and make throws down the field because Carr's going to take the first check down he sees.
Yeah, I want to ask about the if the MVP race was today, I think Russell Wilson would be mine. But what's the view overall of what guys like Bridgewater is doing when Breeze is out, or the view of a guy like Aaron Rodgers who's kind of managing the game and not putting up the gaudy numbers, but his team is 5-1?
Well, I think Teddy's done a good job, and I think Sean's done a great job. I mean, Ted's playing within himself, and I think that's the most important thing you could do. He's not Drew Brees. He's never going to be Drew Brees, but he's been effective. He's just slightly under 7 yards per attempt, which is, you know, he's got to get the ball down the field a little bit. He's protected the football really well. He's gotten out of some bad plays because he can move a little bit, considering that he's coming off a horrendous knee injury and he's still able to move. So, you know, and they've played really good defense. I mean, they've played outstanding defense. I think they've only allowed 3 third downs to be converted the last 2 weeks. So they've done a really good job with how they're playing complementary football in terms of all three phases. It's a tribute to the head coach. I think when you lose your starting quarterback or you lose somebody of the magnitude of Drew Brees, everybody thinks you're going to fall apart, and it's the greatest opportunity to come together as a team.
Yeah, that's one of the tough teams in the NFC. People, I don't know when he's coming back, but if you're the Green Bay Packers, I don't know if people are buying into San Francisco, but for the most part, if you can run the ball with Aaron Jones and you can throw the ball to your backs and spread the ball around, it forces people like Aaron Rodgers to use 9 different receivers like he did against the Cowboys.
Yeah, look, I don't underestimate the 49ers. They're really good. The Packers should have a hard time blocking them. They're really good up front. They can rush the passer. They can create problems for the opposing quarterback because of their four-man pressure. They haven't given up. I think they've given up 3 third-down conversions in the last two weeks as well. They've played outstanding. I mean, they're hard to play. They can run the football, and with Kyle Shanahan calling plays, look, they came into Green Bay and almost beat Green Bay with backup quarterback C.J. Beathard. So this is a well-coached football team who's way better on defense.
Why are you bringing that up? Are they all, why do you do that?
Well, I'm just trying. You're like, I was on an Eagles. I was on a Philadelphia radio show the other day, and like Philadelphia, they said, "You think they would trade us Jalen Ramsey for a Sidney Jones in a second round pick?" And I'm like, "Come on, yeah." Would they trade LeBron for T.J. McConnell? I mean, come on, seriously, you know.
Michael Lombardi, our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Michael, who do you believe is the number one team in the NFC?
You know, I think right now it's San Francisco without a doubt. In my mind, I think it's San Francisco, New Orleans, and Green Bay. I think they're real three. Real, I think the NFC's got 11 teams that could easily say they have a right to go to the playoffs, and there's only 6 dance cards. There's going to be a lot of unhappy campers at the end of this year from the NFC. The AFC doesn't have that many, but the NFC's got a lot. And every time an NFC plays another NFC team, it's really magnified because it's so important. You can't lose because you could lose a tiebreaker in the wild card.
Michael, appreciate the time, man. We'll talk soon.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
That's a great football conversation. Awesome. That was awesome. Michael Lombardi, our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Michael Lombardi, you can also listen to his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available now on the Radio.com Sports app or wherever podcasts are sold.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.